chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say?
Well, everyone pays Stacking Jacks. That's Amal. She's AV on the board. Angelica Vlasenko. SP Futures up 450. Boy, we're up. I'm shocked. Dow Futures up 35. NASDAQ Futures up 16. We got oil unchanged. Let me see what our Japanese, the one I'm very interested in, our Japanese deal. Japanese, oh my God, it's back down to zero. So it's not exactly, actually it's negative 0.003. Audrey, how are you?
I'm fine. Good morning. How are you people?
Doing all right. How was your, you people? You mean Angelica and me?
All of the wonderful people there.
Well, that's it so far. How was your party last night?
Party was fun. Our guest always throws a good party. Good food, good fun.
Good. That's good. That's good. The weather, how do you beat this weather, for God's sake?
Oh, it could stay like this all year round. This works for me.
Yeah, it's pretty
absolutely love it. I have no need to have the white Christmas anymore.
No. You want the white Christmas, go skiing.
Get old and cranky, don't care, I don't want to shovel it. Looks nice soft, but then it needs to go away.
God. Hey, I want to talk to you at the end of the year, a little bit of a real estate kind of pickup. I noticed in West Loop, they're upping all the, well, you know, you and I were talking a little bit this weekend about fees continuing to go up. It seems like this year, I don't know how about if the property taxes are going up places, but the fees sure are. All the properties, all the parking rates are going up. The Skyway going up again. It's going to be like 530 or 550 or something. In the West Loop, people moved over there, and now they're going to put meters on all the streets. For the ago, the meters keep chasing you, and they're talking $7 an hour downtown.
That's just crazy.
Does anybody get?
I don't know where they expect people to. How they expect any time, but somebody makes a few extra bucks, they take it twice as much away from them in daily living expenses.
Yeah, I don't know how that. I don't know. I know that there's a disconnect, you know, odd a little bit between what you normally hear on radio and TV. My view of what's happening to. Well, I guess maybe you and I talk to more, I'll use the term regular people than maybe the people on TV. But this grandiose economy that everybody sees, I really don't see it at all. I see it in pockets. I see in some areas it's extremely strong. but in other areas it's just not. And I just, obviously some of that's tempered by some of the stories that you tell me about. In some areas people bought condos, you know, I'm going to say 10, 12 years ago for a certain price, have not really been able to maintain them. Now through some combination of, not that they're dirty or anything, but lack of updating and prices not coming back. Now that particular condo is, you know, 30 grand less than it was. So those people basically lost their down payment and they're looking for another place. And it's not that the value's dropped so dramatically. It's dropped a little bit, but the lack of maintenance plus the other, I mean, there's a lot of housing stock that's below price of where people bought it. Is that still a fair statement?
No, the problem, well, I think it's a problem that there's not enough inventory still to sell or buy. There's buyers out there. That's going to be, for 2020, another difficult issue. And what people want is something that looks like HGTV has been perfectly maintained. And what you'll find is that allows of housing stock, especially with older people, they've got kept updated, and people don't want, you know, they want everything that's pristine and looks good. So you either, something like that is, like, as you said, it's going to go at a bargain basement price, but something that's new and shiny is just going to get snatched off the shelf. So even the National Association of Realtors this year thinks that the big problem, again, is going to be lack of inventory, people that are, you know, decided just to stay in their homes and fix. Which is why you see your Home Depot, et cetera, stocks doing so well. You get a lot more people that are staying in their homes and not moving, like every roughly 5 to 7 years that used to be the norm. People would just get up, move around, trade up, trade down. And, now they're kind of sitting, which is why you see the rise of staycations and, backyard barbecues and pools. That Americans have just changed, I think, how they live. possibly in that generation that has homes, they're enjoying them more, staying more. And then you have still the young people that are in the extremely expensive apartments downtown. If that I see changing is now they're aging. They're going to come out of that one-bedroom, $3,000 a month apartment, and before being, they're getting married, they're forming families, and now, they're going looking for their home. But that's where the rub is. There's still a shortage of entry-level housing.
Why do you think, having said what you just said, why do you think Home Depot got it lower for next year? It seems odd, didn't it?
I'm not sure that I agree with that. I think they'll be going to stay because there's still an enormous amount of fixing. And the home building takes off again. I mean, all these stocks should, again, I think, go with it. There's still home builders that are gearing down. They're looking, instead of not like your Toll Brothers, a luxury market that's entirely separate, but something that's like Pulte or Gallagher and Henry who builds for maybe more of the average starter, middle-income buyer. They got to get their stuff somewhere. And, I would think that that's just going to filter down to all those stocks.
Well, it's kind of, one of the reasons why, I like doing the show is I can draw connections between various stories where if you listen to the solid news media, we're not the solid news media at all, we're just people giving information. If you're the solid news media, you read an article, then you read another article or a story, and you never try and put two to two together. But I think there's always two and two. I was on, a few weeks ago, was on this, plus I was on with Joan Esposito a while ago, and we're talking about how everything kind of comes together. When you have people that the median income doesn't go up very much, and oh, by the way, the savings, you can say all you want about every old person should have been an Apple. But the fact is, most old people save, or a lot of them do, or want to be in more, they want to be in something a little safer than just all in stocks. I mean, some of them want to be 40% in stock or 30 or 50, but the idea that everybody should be all in the one stock that went up last year and not in the ones that didn't and not in the savings at all is lunacy for people that are old. They've never been around. They've never either been old or understand how people are supposed to be. And God help you if you're a financial analyst or money manager for people, and somebody walks in who's 80 and you put all their money in Apple because it went up last week, because all of a sudden there's going to be a week where it doesn't go up and everybody's going to say, what's it all doing in one stack? But having said that, and why do you think there's such a disconnect between no money for savers for really a decade and less maintenance of homes for older people and even regular people than you would normally expect? I mean, to me, one's a direct cause of the other. It's not like they're out boozing with the dough, I don't think. Do you?
No, and I think, you're right, having absolutely no rate of return on your savings when people had projected 20 years ago your average rate of return of 8%. Well, if that kept compounding, that pretty much took care of your retirement. Well, that hasn't happened. So people, again, who were, lucky to get in a great return on, S&P 500 or the other stocks, but the average person's pension, I don't believe, has kept, pace, obviously, with what's going on in the world. So an unsophisticated investor, which I would say probably 80% of the world is, has to be pretty lucky or gotten some guidance, even if they work for a company that matched their 401ks. If you didn't know what to put yourself in and there was no guidance, and you didn't have the knowledge of where to look, obviously I think that you're just, you might be okay, but you're not doing as great as you would have been.
Well, that's right. And the stocks, you need to be nimble. And obviously I like to do that for my people. You like to be nimble and be in the new stuff. But the bottom line is, this is a lot of stuff when you are a stockbroker, and what has been in this industry for forever years, was on a trading floor, worked for Schwab, obviously still a part of PTI. So in addition to her other work with the real estate market, it's amazing how people only look one way. I mean, they don't. I mean, how many people did we have or do we have at PTI that have a 10,000 share block of stock that, or 8,000 that dad left them in Exxon or in Schlumberger or in God help you, it was United Airlines or Sears or something like that. But there's a lot of, especially in the Chicago area, there's a lot of legacy stocks. Lucent was what, Western Electric, right? I mean, there's a lot of legacy stocks where people lost a lot of money on stock. I mean, good Lord. I mean, United Airlines, I mean, how many people's the cornerstone of their, I can remember the trading floor? Well, General Motors paid a special dividend every year? I mean, imagine that. I mean, there are people who had their entire portfolios, loaded with GM because every year they used to pay like a dollar dividend at the end of the year or something. I mean, it was a special. I mean, these were all legacy stocks that like everybody owned. And now you have people that say, well, gee, everybody should be in like Apple. Oh, okay, fine. I mean, I guess so. I mean, people should have been in other stuff for a while too. Then you're supposed to get out on just the right day. I mean, it's hard to do. I mean, it's not like, and I don't think the real estate has been, that big of a, if your timing was right and you got out at the right day, real estate's been a fantastic investment. But it's like any other buy and hold theory. It depends on when you bought it and when you held it too, right?
Well, it also depends on the reason you bought it. There's still a big ticket out for the average mom and pop. We're still buying places and renting them out. You bought maybe a 2-flat and lived in one and rented out. You bought a 4-flat. I mean, once you start, many people of the last generation that started out buying one little place and literally have built a fortune by building. And living that for their retirement and for income, it's a manageable concept for the average person to start and become wealthy. And the problem with the last few years is everybody wants to get in the game, and some of these professional companies that come in and buy up thousands of properties, it's happened in Michigan, it's got some places in Illinois, and the little guy starts getting squeezed out of that arena too.
I think
that between real estate and stocks, you should always have some real estate.
Remember that guy?
Not going anywhere. People grasp the concept. The math is easier. It's a more manageable concept for people to build wealth on who don't have a big education in the process.
Two questions. Remember that guy who I passed him on to you because, I mean, obviously I'm not in the real estate business, but that had, what did the guy have? Like, he had, was it 700 houses on the Chicago South Side?
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to, and you really need a. I was, of course, very interested when I saw it because of being a Southsider, I'd love to see the South Side come back a little bit. I think it is in certain areas. You're seeing some pretty serious development. That area, like I say, along 83rd Street and now along 87th, some of the areas that were considered pretty bad are now not so bad at all, in fact, and doing pretty darn good, block by block, just like what the North Side has done. But I wonder if those guys ever sold a bit. I don't know how you'd manage like 600 rentals on the South Side that are all scattered on. I mean, you'd have to have an armored car for God's sake. I mean, the question I wanted to get at you is that downtown, some of these buildings are gagging on these taxes, and we see individual people gagging on them. How is an owner of a 6-flat or a 4-flat, is he or she getting whacked as bad, worse, or are they being forgotten about a little bit, or? Or is it sort of the same thing that everybody...
They're getting taxed just as badly. Obviously, like anything else, you either choke on it or you pass it on to the tenant. So, rents go up.
I know where I live, but we're playing the water bill. The water bill keeps going up.
Some of the suburbs out south where I've seen where the houses are so overtaxed compared to value that, we had talked about that for one reason a lot of people lose their houses. Is the tax payment is more than the house payment.
Well, in some areas, the price of the house, unfortunately, for the person who's living there now, reflects that, right?
Right.
I mean, I think if you went to Flossmoor, you can get into a palace for, what, $200? Because the taxes are
$35? That would be pretty cool. You've seen some between maybe last house I remember seeing over there on the golf course probably went for about 180, but it had $14,000 taxes. Well, that's a big chunk of change too.
And so your tax bill is higher than your mortgage.
Yeah.
Is that just because the schools keep spending and they just keep taxing people? I mean, there's going to come a day when the house is free and the taxes are like $5,000 a month. What's the rate they're going?
And that you unfortunately see that around different places, and there are even more affluent areas. You could, you've seen that, that high end come down, and in a few places the houses that were a million are maybe five or six now, but their tax bill is still sitting at 20 to 30. So it definitely is an issue, and it's why people are crossing the border, especially in Indiana, where that you still buy that $500,000 house, but maybe you're just talking about an $8,000 tax bill. That's a, whole,
The place is
for a lot of people.
Out by you, you got a couple of nice areas. By you, how are things by you?
My bayou.
Yeah, they're like how south side is that?
Bayou country.
Yeah, they used to call that Marquette Park because that was a if you had a Lithuanian accident, that was the thing you'd always say. How are things by you? It was Mark was Lithuanian.
Another Chicagoism.
Oh yeah, another Chicagoism. Or I mean, David's been showing me some stuff up in like Lake Forest and stuff, where these huge mansions that were, you know, 15 mil or something. Nobody wants these things anymore. The kids, I mean, they're just, what do you need, you know, 20 rooms anymore and two swimming pools? And I mean, what is, those places are going for, say, a lot less than they, what do you suppose the ratio is between the price to replacement value? What do you think would cost to build those things today?
Oh, yeah, I think, somebody's always still going to want those. It's just different houses for different times, and I still think if somebody can afford it, they would, you know, and you could have a mansion on Lake Michigan, hey, that'd be pretty nice, and I wouldn't turn my nose up on it if somebody dropped one in my lap. But I think that it simply becomes a matter of style. A lot of those homes are as beautiful as they are, don't live the way some of the people want open concept today and all the many little rooms. So the dining room is staging to come back. You'll hear some buzz about that people want that dining room that haven't wanted for years. So that's an interesting thing. But it's somebody is always going to want a beautiful piece of property who can't afford it. So I don't think that is ever going to go away, that demand for the finer things in life and housing is there for the appropriate crowd. I just don't think it's as widespread because some people are either choosing to have a house in where it's warm, plus a house here, or there's different choices in lifestyle now that we just weren't seeing, you know, when we were growing up and getting the housing market.
Well, one of the things that you and I say choose to disagree on a little bit, and it's not, you know, just a little bit, because I don't think either one of us are really fighting about it. I'm the thing that concerns me most, and you know,
because you know I'm right.
Well, it's, you know, of course, but the things that concerns me most about what's happening in this state and this city, and I know I should be thinking more about, you know, what's happening in Southwest Michigan where Kevin lives and other places where things are not, quote, as bad fiscally for the places, but I honestly don't have much of a problem if we have Say we have a pension issue, which we do, okay, and we got a gap, and you raise taxes for a while. Much as I hate the hell to do that, raise tax for a while, and you put the whip to people for a little bit, with the idea that in two or three years we will have, you know, filled that gap. We're back on the horse. We're back where we ought to be, and we can either stop raising taxes for a while and let the income catch up, or the property values catch up, or do something. But the thing that I get in, you know, constant, I will say, heated discussions with you and a lot of other people, is that the problem I see is that at the end of 8 years of the Rahm father, and now, you know, a year of Lori Lightfoot, and I'm not blaming them personally, except that they're, you know, they, like most politicians, as my mother used to say, they lie like a rug. At the end of the 5 years, at the end of raising the taxes 40% for the pensions, then you go give everybody a raise, and then at the end of those people retiring, you haven't gained anything, because then all of a sudden the pension you're paying that person goes up even more. It's one thing to raise taxes for 50% for people, really put the hurt on them, and at the end of 4 years go, well, we used to owe $1 billion and now we owe $500 million. You know, I guess when you get to that stage, Aud, you just have to do that. But what you can't do, in my mind, is at the end of the $1 billion you owe it. So you raise people's taxes at the end of 4 years, go, well, we now owe $1.5 billion. We not only didn't gain on it, we're losing ground. And how do you, I mean, if, you know, say you and I went out.
No, I agree with that totally. I would say the mess that Illinois is in is due to the voters' apathy over the years, who just let the politicians just demolish the state, the county, the city, the county. You know, this, the whole idea that it was allowed to be so mismanaged, nobody cares enough to go out and vote these people out of office and vote in new ideas. We would start needing to have viable Republican candidates in Chicago. Yeah, I remember growing up, I grew up in the 12th Ward. I didn't know there was a Republican. Who knew?
I'm going to have the same, Democrat.
I mean, gee.
I'm going to have the same debate.
You could say what you want, though, about Mayor Daley, but I got to tell you, the city worked when he ran it.
Well, yeah, but it also was an awful lot more manufacturing, and people were making more money, relatively.
Absolutely. So the fact that so much of this was ignored in, I would say, the last 15, 20 years, but the conniving and all of these money management jobs, as we know when we were investigating that, the people that they gave the money to manage to for the city, nobody took a hard look at those returns and where that money's going and how everything was appropriated. Nobody watched those numbers. So in many ways, it's the public's fault for not keeping an eye on who they elected to run this.
But the disconnect, I mean, when people, first of all, I can't argue with that. I will say one thing, though. It is amazingly inefficient. It's like when somebody murders somebody to say, well, it was society's fault. No, it wasn't. It was the guy who shot the guy's fault. I mean, everybody runs unopposed on the idea that it's Republican versus Democrat. These people are emperors. If all of a sudden the city was Republican, Ramfather would have been Republican, Lori Lightfoot would have been Republican. You think the people sucking on the tit of the city, do you think the big shots that are taking all the money, do you think they're Democrats?
No, I agree with that. People will go where the sense of the money is that they can empower themselves. But you need to have a couple of viable platforms, I don't care what you call yourself, of candidates. And I'm not saying to totally demolish the system, but I'm saying that it needs to, you've got people who are not offering, and the idea that people like Madigan have been in there for whole life and allowed to control this system is where we especially got derailed.
But
their own kingdom.
Well, we're not 25 anymore. The time just flies. I mean, the Ron father comes in, and I think Ram is pretty darn bright when it comes to numbers, right? I mean, he's not an idiot by any stretch. And matter of fact, he could be the smartest mayor we've had maybe ever, I mean, in terms of actual smarts. Although I don't think anybody's much more smarter than Daley one. But anyway, but put the guy in there. He tries to do something about pensions. He bucks this trend. He fights it for 4 years. He loses in the Supreme Court. Well, now it's 4 more years, right? And he tries to do something else a second term. Meanwhile, he's raising taxes and everything because he needs to, unfortunately, because he can't get anybody to have any common sense anywhere in the state. He's bucking up against a constitution that has been read to be useless. Well, you can't diminish this, that. Even to the point where if people stole and connived and have doubled the pension they should have, you can't go get it back from them because, you know, I don't know, some judge thinks that he might be next. They say even if you steal money, it's okay. He said, oh, it's 8 years? And he says, the hell with it. He's not even running again. Screw you guys. I can't do anything here. Now we got somebody else. Now we got to give her 4 years. And I'm going to say at the end of 4 years, she hasn't pushed back on any of this stuff. Maybe she tries.
Oh, no, I don't think so either.
Maybe, you know what? I'm going to say maybe she tries her ass off. Maybe she absolutely does everything she can do, and yet the powers to be, it's another 4 years. Then it's another 4 years. All of a sudden, we're talking 16 years of people being taxed too much, people leaving. I mean, the days just fly by, as they say. I mean, right?
Yeah, but that's the whole thing, is the other section that we will fight downstate with. Yeah, if that was all totally open to public scrutiny, and you aired all the stuff, and people should actually pay attention, They're only there because we're letting them be there.
You can go in right now. You only got a minute or two. You go in right now. I've had it one time. One of the listeners sent it to me, and I'm sure would do it again if I asked. You go in right now, and you can find out every single teacher's salary and every single teacher's pension. It's there. You don't want to look because they're appalled. What do you do about it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, by the way, we're not arguing. I'm just saying you are right, but the idea that we can vote our way out of this, I'd love it to be true that there's somebody who's 35, 40 years old someplace that's going to win some you know, spot, and then all of a sudden he's going to be mayor. And then maybe
it's never going to be just one person. You know, it needs to completely every, I think there should be term limits that are staggered, and you gradually get these people out, and you get people that, what you're looking for is a change in culture, which I think is the most difficult thing.
Well, the people, we just had an election, and I don't have anything against the lady. Matter of fact, I think she's trying to do some pretty good stuff. The thought of the mayor of the city of Chicago getting 92,000 votes or whatever it was is appalling to me. It's appalling. Who elected the lady? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I
will see you later. I guess we're going to do what? Walk in the park tonight? Or you're going to walk in the park? I'm going to sit and watch the football game. Just saying.
You got to get with the program here.
It is. I am with the program.
It's Christmas.
I am with the program. That's why you got your cell phone. Come back and show me what the lights look like.
Yeah, right.
Take a picture of the lion with the hat on, and I'm good to go.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes, Merry Christmas. S&P Futures up 675. S&P Futures up 25. Come back, we'll have Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-401. 8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV on the board. S&P futures are up 650. I'll get this all for you in a second because I'm digging up to get my, where are we at? There we go. All right, now I can dig back to the page I want to get onto. We're doing all kinds of stuff here, AV. Somebody has to do it. You know, what the heck? Too many computers rolling. Dow futures up 55. We have the NASDAQ futures up 23.5. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 14.1%. FTSE up 35.5%. CAC around up 7.1%. So a year very muted. Muted. How's that for a word? Nikkei up 4. Call that flat. Shanghai down 42. That's 1.5%. That's a lot. Hang Seng up 35.1%. Says that China has lowered tariffs on 850 products, including pork and a bunch of stuff, some products for phones and some other things. On this end, we'll get the list. I'm not going to read off 850 of them, but just get the idea in a little bit. Bonds muted as well. Our stuff 1.91 unchanged. The Bund minus 0.25. Japanese 10-year, just to piss me off, is down to it's negative 0.003. That's not very much negative. Oil down 2 cents, 60.42, but down from the 62 numbers it's been. Brent up 5 cents, 66.19. Natural gas 221. Arbob gas 170, which is interesting. Remember that number. Gold up 580, 14.86. Silver up 18 cents, 17.40. So much over 17. So AV, you wouldn't you know care much about this, but yesterday talk about the. As I drive by a station where the gas is 236, I didn't even really need gas because I still had about 25 gallons left in my 42-gallon tank in my Suburban. I went in the next block, 213. I had to pull in. What do you think? 213 I got. Aren't you happy for me? Not really?
Well, actually, you know, as I heard from other drivers, it's kind of the same prices in Ukraine and Russia, but we have like very huge difference in salaries.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd say so. I'd say 213
so
is a little different.
So here is more affordable.
Oh, that part's true. So
at least something nice.
Did anybody, is the Ukrainian, real quick before you do traffic, weather, sports, is the Ukrainian-Russian border a hard border, or people go back and forth a lot and work on each sides, or have friends on each side, or is it a hard border?
It's not really a hard border. It's been always like people would go here and there, and of course after Soviet Union, like you have families also like thrown all over.
But is every road leading from one to the other have a, you know, have a customs checkpoint or everything, or do you just drive over?
Right now it's more strict, but I don't really know all details. I haven't been there for a while.
That's true.
I don't know.
So you don't just head over to Russia to go to the Russian saloon at night. It's more involved than that.
But I know people still go in there, and it's not a problem. But I know, like, public people, like artists, musicians, and actresses, they get banned if they'll go to Russia, like, perform, given the concerts or anything, then they're banned.
Well, now, since you're doing the traffic, rather it's sports for Stocks and Jocks, would you be banned?
No, why? I'm not working for Russia.
You're a public person. now you're a celebrity.
Yeah, but I'm working for in the United States, not in Russia.
Yeah, but they could ban you just for laughs if you ever came home and banned.
No, I won't.
All right, I want you to do traffic, weather, sports. We want a complete report of the Bear game, the Dallas game, and all the stuff that went on Saturday night with the Hawks and the Bulls.
Okay, so Bears lost to Chiefs 3-26, and Cardinals won Seahawks 27-13.
That was a big upset.
Mm-hmm.
They were not supposed to win, but they did.
Yeah, and we're having another beautiful day in Chicago. It's 38 degrees currently, and sunshine and clouds mix during the day. More clouds will let up for overnight, and the highest of the day will be 48, the lowest 32, and only 10% of chances of rain, so which is good. Cloudy day in Phoenix with the high 68. A lot of showers are expected today's evening, which will become a steady rain overnight. And 53 is the lowest of the day in Phoenix. In traffic, only one accident on Lecture Drive North between 83 and 79, which is causing major delays. That's the only accidents known for now. Generally, the traffic map looks pretty clear. No significant delays, but still we're having lots of long-term constructions on the intersection of Eisenhower and Dendrine expressways, which may cause big delays, especially closer to the rush hour. That's all I got, Chief.
Do we have Mr. Flanagan?
Yes, we do.
John, how are you?
I'm good, Tom. Merry Christmas to you.
You too. I think it probably would be possible to add a little bit to AV's report on the Bears. What do you think? So she doesn't have a TV. So she not only doesn't have a TV, if she had one, she would not be watching the Bears. Let's put it that way.
Well, I've kind of lost all confidence and hope this season. And, you know, after watching what little I did in the game, none of that confidence was bolstered. It was a one field goal.
Yeah.
It's kind of typical, I'm afraid, you know, that that's just how the Bears usually end up. You know, they just sort of go out with a whimper, not with a bang. So,
well, are you, you know, are you
one
of the
game? I think, right?
Thankfully,
yeah.
Are you? Well, the Dallas Philadelphia game was interesting. Philadelphia's got everybody hurt, and they still managed to beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys are going to fire a whole coaching staff probably, which I don't get it. I mean, they make some of them. Troy Aikman is doing the announcing, and he's like, I mean, one. They'll make look like they're making a comeback. They're right there, and all of a sudden there'll be a, you know, somebody lines up in a neutral zone, and a guy drops a pass, and you're like, yeah, they're supposed to have this high power offense. They can't wait to shoot themselves in the foot. It's really weird. I mean, I don't understand.
Now you see why I don't take sports as seriously as some other people.
Some other people
I get so frustrated by it.
Some people
give me high school or college sports these days, and I can kind of enjoy those games, you know, as I always did, even when I was, you know, a high school student. But the professional sports have really, you know, done a number on me. I've kind of sworn off of them. I'm really, you know, furious at how they treat fans and money involved. It's professional sports overall have just kind of left me in the lurch.
Well, have you seen anything more useless
me anymore at all?
Well, I don't get this. The Bulls had, To a certain extent. I mean, I know it's all, I mean, the world's all money now, but the Sun Bowl used to be, was the second oldest bowl, right? And it had a history to it. And now it's going to be the, you know, the Tostitos Double Hot Chip Bowl. And you're like, who the hell are they? I mean, you lose all identity. I mean, I mean, there's a bunch of schools of thought here, and I don't know. I'm probably on the grumpy old end of this. I mean, in fact, I know I am. But I don't know. I don't know where the middle is. We used to have and hopefully we'll again. We used to have a gentleman named Jordan Bressler, who's a real nice guy, and he's a marketing genius, right? And just the difference of the way the mentality is. Jay, if you ever could have got my grandfather never watched TV, but if he did. If he ever went to the movies and he paid his dollar, whatever it was back in those days, and walked in and saw a commercial, he would be outraged and walk out. I mean, I paid my dollar to not see a commercial. That's why I'm here, you know, type of thing. Or Bo Schembechler when he was the coach of Michigan. No, we're not putting up ads all around the place. That's why people are here. They want to They want to lose 3 hours of their life and watch Michigan football, and that's why they're here. It's a way to get away from the rest. It's a diversion. You don't need. Now, if you go to a Bulls game, you can't think with the stuff blaring in your ear about, you know, nachos and God knows what else. And I don't need that. I don't need to pay $100 or $200 a ticket to watch commercials the whole night. I mean, what? But yet now Jordan, I mean, I pick AV up this morning. I see her and she's a very nice outfit that she always is, going to yoga or something. Now Jordan would say, there's a waste of a perfectly nice ass. There should be a Coca-Cola sign on AV's ass. You know, I mean, it's some, or yours and mine too. It'd be bigger.
What? Excuse me.
No, I'm saying, or yours and
what
mine.
What are we talking about right now?
No, what I'm saying is the idea that, John, that you and I don't have Pepsi on the back of our coat we wore in some of these people's minds is a waste.
Oh yeah.
Plus the size coat.
Good advertising space being thrown away. You know?
Plus, there's a lot more room on the back of our jacket than on AV. just to say, but my point is, they're just like everybody should have like. Four stickers on them, like they're, you know, they're the NASCAR racer. You know, I mean,
well,
you know,
even more, you're watching professional golf, which I have done on and off over the years, just because it's a you know, usually a beautiful place, you know, just visually and the sweeping panorama.
Oh
and,
yeah,
you know, it's a civilized, you know, individual sport, and the TV coverage tended to be sort of, you know, in sync with that too. It wasn't tons of hype, a lot of quiet, you know, dramatic pauses. But now, you know, even watching that, I can't distinguish, you know, all the logos on the clothing and the hats and everywhere you look, you're being forced to filter something in some other way that has nothing to do with the sport, but it, you know, has everything to do with money. And I just, you know, it makes me think this really is a team sport anyway, that you're either playing for Titleist or somebody else, and it has nothing really to do with the individual. It's more about getting behind the product that they're hawking on their jackets or on their hats or on their bags. And this, to me, is like a complete distraction. I mean, if this is what you're really, you know, funding when you support, you know.
Well, but unfortunately, or fortunately, since I...
really wasteful and stupid about it.
I used to play a real lot, Jen. I don't really anymore. I mean, my swing has gotten more like a slap shot. But, but the idea that, you know, if you know, if the all the people on the tour, I've not played a round of golf probably in the last 40 years. Where I haven't used the Titleist because that's the best ball. You know, I mean, at least in my mind, it is. I mean, it's the one sport that regular people play. Which makes golf unique. I mean, you're not going to go. You and I aren't going to get together with Kevin and Tim and Daryl and go out and play tackle football. You know, and then start putting on helmets and pads. I mean, we may do it once, but we're never going to do it again. And the game won't last very long. Just saying. You know, but I mean, we're liable to go out and play golf and use the same equipment these guys use, which is a totally different marketing story than football. In football, they're trying to get us to drink beer and eat Doritos, right?
Yeah.
Because they're not looking. You don't see a commercial for bike shoulder pads, thinking we're going to go out and buy a pair. If they do, they're barking up the wrong tree. But if they do a Coors Light commercial, hey, we might go buy a Coors Light, right? So it's totally different. With golf, you actually are marketing to people that play the game.
That's true.
I mean, bowling forget, well, most people don't remember because they weren't around. But
that was great. I enjoyed TV bowling.
Yeah, you know, professional bowling used to be much bigger on TV than football.
Yeah.
And obviously when Brunswick or somebody, you know, you had the Brunswick bowling ball, the idea was you and I are bowling in a league or two and we're going to go out and get a new Brunswick ball because Ray Blute or Dick Weber was using it. It's a different, wholly different kind of marketing than, you know, you're watching basketball. Not that you and I are going to go play basketball tonight. It's about, you know, it's about what are we going to eat while we're watching the game, right?
That's right. And, you know, I haven't been to a Cubs game probably in 15 years or so, and the White Sox game probably even farther back. But, you know, I see it on, you know, the days I'm around in the city or I'm on the Red Line or, you know, just poking around the city, and I see all these people bound for a game somewhere, and they're all in their team's jerseys.
Yeah.
You know, they've got their... their shirts, they got their hats, they got the, you think they just wandered out of the dugout instead of just being with their family going to a game. And you look at the prices of you know, this clothing with the logo on it, the official stuff, and you take your choice of sport. It's the same everywhere you go. And I just kind of, my head just kind of,
Well, I mean, if you do the...
More thinking about the money involved in that end of it, which, you know, has very little to do, I think, with team loyalty. It's more like impersonating a team member. It's not so much your allegiance as the fact that this is somebody you think you really are, or you can kind of bask it in your moment where you got your favorite
Jan,
player's
if
name across
if people
your
are into it, if people are into it, if you had five nephews that loved the Bears and you were looking for a Christmas present and you walked with five jerseys, you're the most popular uncle that ever walked. And it's the easiest thing in the world to do.
And, you know, I don't want to be a complete, sourpuss about it, because I know that this is what the attraction of team sports always has been for a city. You know, there is a sense of being part of a larger group, and you bask in their glories and you mourn their defeats, and it's a sound kind of human activity. It's got a lot of support, deep down for me. But it's been turned into just such a money grabbing thing where you've got to prove your loyalty by spending a gazillion dollars, for your team's logo on a piece of clothing you wear only for selected occasions. And I don't, that's just made it possible for them to squeeze more money out of you for a beer and everything else, because you're there as part of more than just being a fan. You're like, you think you got a piece of the franchise. You're like, you own a piece of the Green Bay Packers or something. And I don't think that's really the case. It's just the illusion that they want to sell.
Well,
you.
So much
money for the pleasure, which is just outsized, really, in what's actually being given back to the fan. Because most of the time, the teams are really not living up to their expectations.
Well,
and there's been some miserable years for Chicago sports. But, the revenue for the equipment and the clothing and everything else doesn't seem to change very much. So,
well, some places do way more than others. I mean, some places do for a while. I think the biggest sellers, I'm going back a few years, was the Miami Dolphins. Was it Miami or Carolina? One of those teams, because the shirts were gang colors. They did way more than NFL properties than anybody else. But you'll see what's happening. Like the Hawks now have, matter of fact, the NFL or the NHL, allegedly, I mean, I don't know how strict they are about this, put like a limit on how many official jersey colors you can sell. And it's like four or five, because otherwise, because now the Hawks will have, you sit there and you go, all right, they're either red or white, right? Well, not exactly. You can buy the green one, the one they wear on St. Patrick's Day. That's an official jersey. There's the black throwback, and I think there's one other. There's like five you can buy. But if people are not, they don't just want a T-shirt in the same color. They want the official game jersey.
Exactly, yeah.
But the official game jersey is a serious article of clothing. I mean, guys. I mean, you're talking $2.25, maybe $2.40. But I don't know that the team's not paying $1.50 for the thing. It's a real shirt, because obviously you're going to play in a major league game in it. You don't see guys coming out with rips and everything. I mean, the Tripoli Tap, the official drinking home of Stocks and Jacks, it's a Boston bar. Well, when the Boston Bruins are in the playoffs, I'm going to say 90% of the people sitting in the bar have the high-end Boston jersey. And if you want to go even higher end, you get the heavier duty one with the hood that you can wear in the wintertime. Now, that thing's got to be $275. And the entire bar's sitting there in one.
Good grief.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like them because what do you call it? How many polyesters died for them? They're all nylon or something, which you want if you're playing. But to me, they're hot as hell, so I don't like wearing them. But just saying. But I mean, look at the Bears. My uncles were the biggest fanatic Bear fans ever, because my uncle played 12 years of pro ball, not in the Bears, in the All American. What the hell was he? The All American Congress or the All Midwest? Whatever it was, he played for the West Side All Stars of all places, Jen. And they would scrimmage the Bears and other pro teams, but I never saw him in an orange jersey ever. Did you?
No.
I mean, you know, where did that come from? I mean, I all of a sudden, here's a throwback to when, 1924. All of a sudden, people walk around with all these Orange Bear jerseys. I'm thinking, where the hell did they find these? But hey, I don't know if you were listening on any of the stuff that Audrey and I were talking about.
I was, yeah.
And I just, I wonder, I just, you know, as somebody who, I've always been in the spot, John, not necessarily of being able to, somebody buys a home and it's a friend of mine or somebody who's a client maybe, and they, I don't know if they like talking to me or not, but they respect my knowledge when it comes to money and value. Just because I know the formulas, not because I can tell you where stock's going to be tomorrow, because I sure as hell can't. I don't think anybody can, but I have a real problem right now. If somebody wants to buy a home or a condo or something, I almost can't talk to them because I don't know how to value it. I don't know how to, with the interest rates the way they are and with the taxes the way they are, I don't even know how to say 5 years from now, okay, you buy this place, you pay X for it, your interest rate's here, and your monthly nuts, you know, $2,200, and you and your wife can afford it, and blah, blah, blah. I can't say that it's a bad deal, okay? But what I can say, because I'm watching it all over the place, what I can say is if it's 8 years from now and the taxes are double and the interest rates are up even 2%, the next person, for him to get in that home, it's going to be $4,000 a month. And who the hell are you going to sell it to? I'm looking forward. I'm not looking at what now. If the two drop in and they have a job with Google, and Google's still alive and they're still alive and they're retiring from Google and it's 40 years from now, you know what? It worked out swimmingly for everybody. But what are the chances that happened, John? I mean, I don't even know what to say, to be honest with you. Just like I don't even know what to say to people in the market right now. I see the Fed pouring money in like they're a drunken sailor. I can't even begin to tell you why they put $40 billion on the balance sheet last week. It's double, almost double any month of QE3. And yet these people are telling you there's nothing going on, there's nothing wrong, and it's just happening. Now, I know that's not true. Okay, I absolutely know that's not true. There's some reason why they're doing it. They're either doing it to prop the market up for the impeachment, or God knows what they're doing. But the whole world has changed since Powell went to the White House for that dinner. I don't know whether they waterboarded the guy or paddled him or what the hell they did to him, but something weird happened there. Or whether they told him that we've got this problem overseas and you better fix it or you better make money. But it could be straight, it could be that. But anybody who tells me that there's not something going on here is out of their mind. And I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, or what you are. I mean, Carl Denninger is as Republican as they come, and he calls me Friday, he goes, I don't know what they'll do. He goes, they either have a reason for it, which is very troubling, or they don't have a reason for it, which is even more troubling. One or the other. Take your pick.
Right, and there's very little reporting about
right.
it that I see.
Well, there's
although
no answer.
With the reporting I do occasionally see about, you know, liquidity emergencies or just fantastic sums of money being pumped into the repo market, there's no follow-up to it. I don't see this as part of any kind of a drumbeat for greater scrutiny or caution or anything else. And then the energy just dies, the story goes away, you don't hear anything more about it, but it's been there for some time, and nobody seems to want to really talk about it in big terms or keep people abreast of it. There is the sense that something is lurking very close to the surface, and God help us when it breaks, but I don't remember that being quite the case in 2007 and 2008.
They poured more money in now.
Pretty open, I thought, really.
Yeah.
There was a lot of drum beating then.
Well, there was years where we're doing it.
And yet the stakes are probably, significantly higher. So.
And then the interesting part is watching the people on TV trying to scramble for reasons as to why the market's going up. Oh, man, investors like this, they like that. John, has nothing to do with that right now. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with somebody open up an entire boatload of cash in State and Madison, and all of a sudden the business and the restaurant around State and Madison are up tonight. Ooh, duh.
Sure. I agree. It has nothing to do with, expectations of prosperity down the pike or growth or expansion or more jobs or better jobs. That has nothing to do with it, really. It's all just based on an infusion of cash somewhere, and it's percolating most visibly in the stock market. But that isn't a sign of general health elsewhere, that's for sure.
No, and I think you can ride it as long as you as long as every once in a while you roll your puts up, I think, you know, because, but I, you know, it's funny, Jan, that I, you know what I did last week? I shouldn't even do stuff like this. I actually dug around the internet. We only got a minute here before we got a break, but I dug around the internet and I found the history of the stock market in the Weimar Republic. The thing went up every day. It went from like 1,000 to 1,000,000. Now, does anybody think that was because the companies were doing well? It's just because, I mean, it's at some point here, it's not because Apple's going up, but then people will say, and immediately will say, well, the dollar is not doing any different than anybody, I mean, it's actually not going up compared to other stuff. No, because every central bank's doing it. I wonder if Christine Lagarde is going to be the linchpin and it stops this. Because she seems like she's not in on this game. Anyway, S&P futures up 6.25. NASDAQ futures up 23. I'm Tom Howie. He's Mr. John Flanagan. She's AV on the board. We'll be right back.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's JOHN at PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm always Mr. Jan Flanagan. She's AV on the board. SP futures up 6.25. NASDAQ futures up 23. Individual stocks moving up. Boeing up $1.70. 3M up 118. But here's a perfect example of when you people say, you know, the market is up. I don't know that there's a whole lot better stock in the world, really, than in my view, than 3M. And I'm going to say that the stock was 255 on last January, and now it's 175, so it's down pushing well over a third. And I don't know that if anybody would have walked into any brokerage firm, including PTI, and said, I've got 3M, I've got Schlumberger, I've got Exxon, I got all these guys in my portfolio, what do you think? If I would have said, wow, that sucks, I probably wouldn't have said that. And yet you've been nothing but lose this year, and you'd be like, you know, taking out a contract on your broker or money manager. And yet I would say, John, that if somebody were to, this is why you're very slow to give opinions on stocks, because it's very hard to do. If you were to say we're going to fight with China like all year, I would say the two stocks you probably want to stay away from are Nike and Apple, and those have got to be the two best performing stocks in the stack. I mean, how Apple managed to dodge this whole thing, I have no idea. But they. I don't know, back and forth. They must be going back and forth from Z's dining room to Clinton's to Trump's, and somehow currying favor with both sides. And they've done it. They've played the political game masterfully. Now, if that's what it takes in today's world, I guess I have a problem with that. But that's the reality of it. I mean, you got to. I remember when Microsoft was. It was 10, 15 years ago when Gates was still there. And they were talking about how they had some big antitrust problem and how they just haven't paid the price. They don't have as many lobbyists. They started rattling off all these companies that paid, you know, $5 million in lobbyists. And Microsoft was three times as big, and they only paid $2 million. They just didn't get the picture. And all of a sudden, in the next 3 months, they went and hired all these swinging idiots. And sure enough, 10 years later, they're probably the most silent monopolist on earth. Probably guilty of everything in the Clayton Act and Sherman Act ever dreamed of, and nobody bothers them.
Sure.
And it's something that you, as a citizen, you do watch and wonder, you know. Was the song, As I Walk Along, I Wonder? It's very, was that Del Shannon?
Del Shannon, right.
But you have to invest. I mean, what do you make of these long-term rates creeping up as much as they have? I mean, they're not, you know, they're going from 1.48, which is a low here in the 10-year, to we're over 1.9 now. Despite what people think and say, Fed doesn't really control long-term rates to any huge event. Long-term rates, a lot of times, are inflation expectations.
I think there's probably a ways to go, you know, for them to go further, just because, you know, they were depressed for so long, and, you know, close to zero, and
yep.
That, I don't know if it created a lot of pent-up energy or not, but it certainly, I think, you know, was a discouragement that kind of worked its way out into making, you know, things happen. Maybe a little faster and more aggressive than they would have been otherwise. So I suspect this will continue for some time. I don't see it, you know, stalling or tanking right away. I just don't think that's likely at all.
Well, the fear.
But it doesn't. It's not transferring really to you know, profound good for investors either. Just because things are so up for grabs. I just, you know, with housing, especially in this part of the world anyway, in the Midwest. I find it so hard to find good, sure bets anymore in any, you know, way, shape, or form. Mortgage rates are okay, but it isn't the kind of booming real estate market you would expect if things were really as good as we're being told they are. So, I don't know.
Well, it is, despite all the money we spend on education, if I walked into a, I won't say a bar, I'll say a coffee shop or a library, and end up with a discussion with people, I'm going to say if there's 10 people there, I'm the only person that's going to say the best time to buy real estate is when interest rates are very high, and the worst time is when they're low. And yet, to me, that's it's so obvious it's scary. Because clearly rates can go down, in which case all you do is refinance, right? I mean, if you can afford a place at 11%, you sure as hell can afford it at 6, right?
Right, and expand your pool of buyers,
yeah.
too.
Yes.
So,
there
is a lot of sense in that. If you can afford to do it when interest rates are high, you're banking on there being a reduction, which there will be at some point. It might be a dramatic one, and you'll do fine. You'll do better than the people waited, to get into the market. So, it was so interesting listening to you talk to Audrey earlier about, people's living habits now and where they want to live and how they want to live and what that means, like for somebody buying a house in Flossmoor, that the house is attractively priced, but the taxes are making it impossible to own. I don't remember that kind of, sort of dissonance between what a house was really worth and its tax liability. I mean, it was all sort of, there wasn't that much of a nut that went for your tax bill every month like there is now. And that shows no signs of changing. And what that's doing to people's expectations of getting in the market or hanging on to a piece of property or where they're even going to bother looking for a piece of property because they're hoping the taxes don't explode there. I don't know what you make of this, but I just scratch my head because I'm glad I'm in the market and I own a place now. I couldn't afford it now if I were trying to go out and buy it in this kind of a market. I'm glad I bought it 23 years ago, but I just don't know what people are doing today. Are they just steering clear of it and they prefer to rent, and that's going to continue. I suspect it will, and that does things to home construction and everything else when people sort of go into that mode. So, what do you make of this?
Well,
turn it back to you because I'm fascinated by it, and
I'd like
to hear your thoughts on it too.
It's a multifaceted problem. I mean, Audrey was selling. I don't like to talk about it because she was selling some houses in Park Forest, which is kind of a rough area. I think she sold a place for $56,000. Some guy asked her to, and John, I'm thinking the taxes $5,500, $6,000, some incredible number. Some guy remodeled a three flat. I think she got a really good price for the guy. She said did a real nice job. Three apartments that she goes anybody would want to live in. They're all modern, everything. $98,000. I think the taxes were $10,500 or something.
Jeez.
It's all, I mean, what the one big mall went out up to was Lincoln Mall or somebody.
Yeah.
And they just sprinkled it around. It's the thing that I hope, when you listen every day to the show, which I hope people do, I hope one of the things you drag out of this, because everybody's got their things that they're very, very good at. And obviously you listen to John, he's amazingly well read. He's got more history about him than I do. And you can tell he's much better with the language, but the thing I hope everybody learns from me is when you buy anything, whatever it is you buy, or sell or whatever, there's the one number that from there flows everything else. If I want to go buy a house, my significant other, say Audrey and I want to go buy a house, and she's already got a house, so she'll need another one, but. Let's say she needs another house. But I'm saying, or you and I, John, we want to go buy an apartment building, okay, because we want to buy a floor flat, we want to invest. Well, we're going to look at the numbers that the people pay, what the rent prices are. We're going to look at the maintenance, and we're going to look at, those kinds of things. So by and large, we're going to say we can spend $10,000 a month. That's what we can spend on this place, okay, given all the other numbers. Or if it's a house, you and I are moving in together, there's going to be between your salary and mine, we're going to say, in our taste, and we're going to say, look, we could spend $4,000 a month. Okay, whatever it is, $2,500. We're going to pick a number that's going to be our budget, our range. Right? And everything keys off that number. And that's what I wish people would at least spend a little time studying, even if it's a, economics for dummies book. Not accusing anybody of being a dummy, but everything works off that number. if the interest rates are 12, okay, and a person wants us as a buyer, the house has to be priced so when you back into it through the interest rate, it comes out to $3,500. Or actually, $3,500 after tax. So if the taxes go from $1,000 per month to $1,200, that $200 is going to come off what we can pay the buyer. And you factor in the interest rate, it just drops the price. I mean, one of my buddies who helps out with the show from time to time, he's an attorney, and he lives River North, and they haven't really had a tax increase there for a while. And one day I'm driving him home, and he opens up the envelope in the city, and his taxes went up 30%. And I said, well, how do you feel that your house just went from 420 to 360? He goes, not so hot. But everybody should have that exact same mental reaction as I do. Because it doesn't mean that your buyer can now automatically pay $100 more a month or $200. It means you're going to make up the difference. And you're not going to make up the difference through the interest rate. That's not you unless you want to finance it for the guy. That's not going to change. The taxes aren't going to change. The insurance, that's also part of it. What if that goes up? Well, that's coming out of you too because if you don't have insurance, they won't sell it to you, right? Or you won't get a mortgage. So there's four factors in here. Right, and you don't control any of them except the price. So if any one of the other ones go up, in the number that you and I are willing to pay, $3,500 doesn't change. The only plug number here is the price, right? The only person losing is the seller. And where am I wrong?
That's it. I mean, and you know, there's things I see just depending on what neighborhood or suburb you're looking at now to live in or buy in. You would think that the suburbs that have the nicest amenities, that have the most attractive situation, lakefront, near transportation, whatever. The high end suburbs are the ones taking the biggest hit right now, it seems. And I would. The city is a little different. You know, that's the subject maybe of another show, what's going on in various city neighborhoods. But what I see happening on the North Shore and the farther out suburbs that had lots of attraction to people 30, 40 years ago are less attractive now because of commuting difficulties and, cost of schools with tax. Everything has just exploded in ways they didn't foresee either. And I didn't expect that the high-end real estate market in these wealthy areas would stall as severely and reverse, go down as precipitously as it has recently. I didn't see it coming, and to some extent, I'm kind of frightened by it because I think that's a harbinger for what's going to happen in the city too.
I think, Jan, if you look at the study I just did, I'm not going to obviously disagree because I agree with what you're saying, but I think. Trust me if I'm wrong. I mean, you and I, we come from the Catholic background, so even on the South Side, even though the public schools by us were actually pretty good, I mean, we all went to Catholic school, right? Because we're Catholics, right? But I'm going to say that if you're up in, what suburbs are New Trier?
Kenilworth.
The 3%ers up there, everybody. I'm going to say that very few people, I'm sure there's still people that go to Loyola, but most people probably go because the schools are so damn good. You're going to go right there. Like in the city, even if you're Catholic, if your kid gets into Walter Payton, you're probably not going to, saying, "Oh no, he's got to go to Loyola." I mean, Walter Payton's pretty darn good, right? So it depends on the person, obviously. But the point being is, in the city, the taxes in the city were always such. If you moved to the suburbs, the taxes were the same, and oh, by the way, you got to go to New Trier instead of, Morgan Park or someplace.
Sure.
So, as the price of that education, where else in the CPI, as I was my research, I was doing a couple of them leading in, where else in the CPI is primary education, but in property taxes? I mean, in Chicago is a little different because there's some areas where, at St. John Fisher, I'm going to say, 90% of the kids went to St. John Fisher. Maybe 10% went to the public. I didn't know where the public school was, type of thing. As a matter of fact, I don't know anybody who went to public school in our few block area anyway. But I mean, so the city basically got away with, when we were growing up, I'm going to say 40% of the kids in the city were in Catholic school.
Oh, yeah. And it was, I think, you know, being a product of it myself, too, it was a quality education. It was better than our local school could have provided, either the elementary or the high school.
But the
no
city...
question. My parents, my grandparents have felt the same way about their children, too. And I think, you know, the city was insulated to a great extent by not having to provide resources for all of its school children, because they had a competitive, you know, and an excellent school system that people were glad to pay to send their kids there. And it was a relatively affordable then, too. And it's, of course, become less affordable, as every other form of education has, too, including the public schools, which have just, you know, exploded. But it really gave, you know, it was a buffer on real estate taxes, I suspect, too, because the schools were not really there to educate everybody. They were there to educate a certain number of people.
Right.
So you had, you know, schools that were small, large, they'd merge. Now with population patterns, you've got, you know, a really kind of a collapse of the Catholic school system, or not a collapse, but it's certainly much smaller than it used to be. And you got school closures galore, and schools that should be closed in Chicago because they don't have the students anymore, and the population is lower than when you and I were growing up. But the bills continue to explode, and you're paying, you know, substantially more for less and less of a product.
But if we could get somebody, I'm sure we have listeners from that area, but if we could analyze the last 15 years, and you could do this better than me because you know this stuff better, the last 15 years of a single homeowner's tax bill in either new trip, by the way, Orleans the same way, Rodriguez, you're going to see that the schools are probably pushing 60% of that bill, maybe more, and that's where most of your increase is coming from. And it's not, I doubt if it's an electric bill for the streetlights, although it's probably up some. You know, everything's probably up, but it's nothing. You're going to find that there's some places have, although I think they kick it to the state somehow, some places have, you know, some small towns have 10 policemen that are, you know, that they're paying retirement for. And they only have like 6 people on the force.
Sure.
You know, I think you and I could very easily, if we dissected one of those bills, I'm going to say as much as 2/3 of it is education.
Well, you know, I just went last week to a workshop for the Cook County Board of Review, and I go to these every time they have them. The alderman puts them on here in the city, and it's an easy way to fill out your appeal, you know, for your assessed valuation every year. I don't see anything wrong with doing that, because the numbers are so unpredictable these days, you have to have some kind of a way of reining it in. But they went through this whole PowerPoint presentation, the Board of Review representative, on where your tax, you know, bill goes after it leaves your checking account. And they had a little pie chart up there, and it's 58% for the schools.
Right.
1% for Forest Preserve, you know, 3% for library. I mean, this is just, you know, City of Chicago, so the numbers or the percentages would certainly vary, you know, in other places in the state. But yeah, it's 60% for schools. And, you know, when you can factor in pension and, you know, a bloated administration system too, which is probably a bigger scandal than anything the teachers, you know, are involved in with their pensions and their demands. I think the administration of the schools is absolutely horrendous and has been terribly mismanaged and corrupt beyond belief. You look at Barbara Burt Bennett and Jean-Claude Brizard, you know, a whole host of people who had no business in those positions screwing things up. That's a huge chunk of change to have people to cough up, especially when you look at the product.
It's a microcosm that the state, although they have been pushing back a little bit on some of the pensions, but if you're not in the city of Chicago, that's what, in one sense, as much as people want to give Rahm and Lori Lightfoot all kinds of crap, the fact is your taxes in Chicago not only go to pay the teachers here pensions, but they go to pay the ones in the rest of the state, which to me is pretty much unconscionable. But I mean, my brother Dan, president of PTI Securities, was telling me about some, you know, he's still playing softball all the time, and here's a story about a lady who's a librarian, right? And she's been around for, you know, whatever, a long time. She's in her 50s. Now she's got 10 more years to go to retirement, but she's making whatever the wages you get as you go up the chain, and she probably got her master's in library, whatever you do, John, I don't know. But I mean, for all intents and purposes, she knows her job. She's doing a nice job. So they offer her, or offer slash push her to early retirement. So let's say she's 60 instead of 65. Okay, so she gets this nice, reasonably fat pension that is now paid for by the state, even though the municipality, which I could give the name, but I won't, now hires some younger lady, right, to be the library. So now they get the younger lady, and 3 months later, the birds and the bees show up. She's pregnant, has a baby. She's off for whatever the thing is, 6 months, 9 months or something. Whatever. Incredibly, I'm not saying you shouldn't get time off, nothing like that, but it's a big paid leave deal, right? Whether it's 3 months paid and two weeks vacation, whatever it is, she's gone for a while. So now they're paying a pension to the first lady, they're paying a salary to the second lady, and what do you think they do?
Hire somebody else.
Hire the first lady back as a consultant. So now she's getting paid as a consultant, she's getting her pension, and we're paying. So now we have three salaries in one here, instead of just letting the lady spend her less the rest of her 5 years. I mean, this stuff is happening all over the place. I mean, we have people that, I don't know that you can go against the grain. I know it's the bureaucracy. I know it's whatever, but it's moronic, John. And it's okay if you've got the dough. If everybody, if you've got, 8 million people living in the county that are all getting 4% raises a year, you know what? You can be sloppy, but now you can't be, and we seem to get sloppier. Or is it just me?
Well, it's sloppy with a, not only with a capital S, but it's criminal. I mean, you heard about what was going on at Governor State University with.
I was going to ask you: Were you one of the five? Are you richer than I think?
Oh no, that we were. My institution was a feeder school for Governor State, so I wasn't associated with Governor State.
Are you jealous?
Employee of them, but to terminate people and then continue to pay them their salary and just fiddle around with the paperwork and then wait for a watchdog to pick up on it. I mean, in what rule book is that moral, legal, desirable? Unless you think you've just got an unlimited supply of money that's yours to dole out to people, and it's up to them to prove they're not entitled to it, or somebody else. The nerve of these people. I don't know. There aren't really. If you've got that kind of mentality operating against the system, then what you need far stronger, watchdog agencies. You need more watchdogs. You need less money, maybe ultimately, so this engine isn't just run off the rails this way. I just couldn't believe what I was reading about that.
Well,
I've always suspected something like that at many institutions, and it would take so long to out it and get a handle on it that the people would already be, resting on their pensions. It would be hard to unravel all that, and somebody may go down for it, but it won't be the people probably who actually benefited from it financially. And when you got that kind of mentality in the system, and it's protected to some extent, it seems, I don't know what you do to reverse it.
Well, Jan, I'm going to spin a little story here. I'll be like, what's his name? Jimmy Stewart in Dusty Rides Again. We're spin a little story, and I'm going to ask you a question about this thing, and I hope you're not too close where you can answer. But when we were in, I think we were in high school, we might have been in college, they were going to rebuild the Dan Ryan back in those days. They were going to redo something to it, the local lanes or something. So my buddy Jim Verbeck and I wanted a job for the summer, and I figured this pays way more than the janitor's job at the whatever. But so we must have gone 5 days wherever there was a big group of people waiting to get hired as, extras, as basically helpers, basically hauling sand around. We're not talking about a genius job, but backbreaking. And, when you're that age, you want something like that. Be good for basketball. You'll put on some muscle.
Sure.
So we probably were, five times we'd go. And mostly, a lot of people there were a bunch of black dudes, which is fine. So I'm there, of course, me, I'm talking to everybody. Well, these guys are all in the coalition, so it's not any black guy who's getting the job. It's going to be just guys in the, quote, coalition, right? And I said, well, what does the coalition exactly mean? He goes, well, it means you kick 15 or 20% of your salary back to either the alderman or the preacher that got you in the coalition. So eventually they ended up hiring people at like 10 o'clock on a Sunday night without telling anybody, so the people in the, quote, coalition got the job so they could kick back. Now, my question to you is, we've got like a minute and a half here, the people who did this at Governor State, what did they get out of it? Would be, I mean, it's one thing for me to fire or get rid of 10 people, still pay them for 5 years, but unless I'm getting some sort of a little something, a little envelope every Saturday night, what is my motivation to do that?
Well, I believe there is some motivation, and it's probably financial, and I couldn't say today what it is or who's paying it. It could be political influence that's involved somehow. It could be, you know, somebody who's trying to do a favor for somebody else and needs somebody's help along the way. And maybe the participants themselves don't know actually who the beneficiaries are from it. But I don't think it happens only by criminal motives. I think it happens because of somebody being leaned on, pressure to encourage this, to make this happen. And it's part of a much bigger picture of how this state is really being looted by people who know how to game it. And
but if I have a Chicago pimple on my behind, I'm going to say, nobody just sends a check home to somebody for 5 years unencumbered. The guy just get to keep the whole check.
Of course. Even their silence has got a price tag attached to it, too. So,
God, are we cynical or what?
Boy, and it's Christmas.
Merry, merry friggin' Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you,
Merry Christmas to you. And by the way, I might need your help later in the week, if you don't mind, bud.
Plus, Not at all. Just keep me posted.
Plus, I need to talk to you anyway. SP Futures up 675, NASDAQ Futures up 26. Be right back with Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, we're playing Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Rauch. He's AV on the board. SP Futures up 675. The NASDAQ Futures up 26. And I'm mad at myself for not being, just getting long Friday night with some calls that have expirations of options tonight, tomorrow, and Friday in the SPY. So I was thinking of doing something bullish, and I, even more bullish than I am some other spots, but I did not do that. Dow Futures up 55. Here's something David Hanneman would love, because I can see him doing this. Millionaires support a wealth tax as long as they aren't getting taxed. Okay. So I'd love the tax as long as I'm not the guy getting taxed. We've seen that before. Dex down 11.1%. FTSE up 42.5%. CAC around up 3. Call that flat. Renasia, Nikkei up 4 points. Call that flat. Shanghai, however, down 42, 1.4%. Hang Seng up 35.1%. Bonds, U.S. 10-year 1.90, it's down a little bit, 1 minus 0.25. And in Japan, back negative 0.003 negative, just to aggravate me. Oil down 5 cents, 60.39. Brent up 2 cents, 66.16. Natural gas, 222. RBOB gas, 1.7. Gold up 440, 14.85. Silver up 14 cents, 17.37. Just to piss you off, David, I got gas yesterday, 213. AV, what do you got for traffic?
Oh, my God, where?
There was 236 all around New Orleans, and in one corner, the Myers and the Shell station were 213. I didn't even need gas, but just like in the OPEC crisis, I didn't need gas, but I pulled it anyway and filled it up. You can always fill a Suburban up.
The crazy thing is, I mean, you got futures on the board, you know, April RBOB at 187, and typically, I don't know, you know, exactly where in the city or burbs or whatever, but the typical premium at the gas pump is 95 cents to $1.05. So if you just take a buck, it should be 298.
Yeah, I don't know. There was one corner that was 213. Everybody else was high 230s. So you can always put more gas in a tank that's 42. So I pulled it and got like 15 gallons, filled it up. AV, what do you got for us? Yeah. Traffic, weather, sports.
I hope you guys are having a great morning. It is 7:36 a.m. in Chicago, 38 degrees currently. Looks like a nice sunny day with some clouds later in the evening and at night. The highest will be 48 and the lowest 32. And a cloudy day in Phoenix with a high of 68. A lot of showers are expected today's evening, which will become a steady rain overnight. And 53 degrees is the lowest for Phoenix. We have a couple of accidents reported. One is on Kennedy East before Diversity Avenue, which is blocking the right shoulder and slows down the traffic. And another accident on California Avenue at Van Buren Street doesn't seem like causing major delays. And that's only two accidents known for now. And yeah, overall, the picture of the map looks pretty nice for this.
Because everybody's out of town.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to work.
It's Christmas time. Chief, what you got?
Well, your abbreviated sports report, as in none. The Bears lost. David, we'll go over to the standings in football, just like Maddie was here. The AFC, I've got Patriots clinched, obviously, at 12-3. We got the Chiefs 11-4, spanking our Bears yesterday. So what the Bears, what, Tom Thayer at the beginning of the year, and I love Tom, but he said the Bears had so many good players that even people that they were going to cut were going to be first string elsewhere. What happened to that? Jeez. The Ravens are 13-2, so those three teams are in. In terms of wild card, I've got the Bills in for sure at 10-5, so they're one of the wild cards. Now we got the Steelers at 8-7. We have the Titans at 8-7, and we've got the Raiders at 7-8. So technically, mathematically, the Raiders, I guess, could still get in. But it looks like it's going to be between the Steelers and the Titans. I don't know who has the tiebreaker, but one of those teams will be the second wild card in the AFC side. And the NFC, well, Eagles and Cowboys, one of those two teams is going to win. Right now it looks like it's the Eagles. The Cowboys hold the tiebreaker. So if the Eagles lose and the Cowboys win, but they're both playing crummy teams, then the Cowboys still could weasel in somehow. 49ers are in at 12-3. Next week's game between the 49ers and the Seahawks will determine who wins that division. So one of those two teams will win and one will not. Seahawks are 11-4. They inexplicably lost to Arizona yesterday. How that happened, God only knows. Now we have the Packers and the Vikings. Same thing. They're playing tonight, 11-3 and 10-4. So it's fairly obvious that one of those teams, those two teams, are going to be the wild card. And then we've got the Saints at 12-3. So the only thing that determines who's winning the division versus wild card, but somewhere between the 49ers, the Seahawks, the Packers, and the Vikings are two division winners and two wild cards. The Bears are out of it. Way out of it. Dub Bears.
Right.
So that's where that all is. So we have the, it should be a good name tonight, though, Packers and the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm not a analyst or whatever, but it just, you know, Trubisky injury, I mean, I don't think he's that good to begin with, but I think the losing Akeem Hicks on defense was a big deal. Danny Trevathan in the middle and was a big deal. I think the offensive line didn't, you know, gel, and they got hurt, you know, long, you know, out for most of the season. And, you know, who knows if he'll even play again. I mean, you had key injuries, and, yeah, somebody's got to step up. And the whole, you know, every team has injuries. But evidently they just didn't have the depth to replace four or five, you know, really, really key players that went down. Roquan Smith, I mean, a lot of guys went down.
And the, the offensive line, the whole, the right side pretty much disappeared with Massey and Long. And Long was not just a player. He was your leader. When he's healthy, he's, you know, one of the best guards in the game.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the last 2-3 years, he hasn't been very healthy. Now his future's in doubt totally. But like you said, he was the leader. He was a cog. He was a big part. And when he went down, they just didn't have anyone to step in and do it. So evidently, depth was missing.
Well, the kid who did, the guy, the former defensive lineman, I think as time has gone by, he's been okay. Plus, I don't know if it was just a miscalculation on their part, but they counted on that tight end. And the tight end position, except for a couple of spots by the kid from the Ivy League, tight end position has been non-existent.
Yeah, and they were talking last night about how this offense, which supposedly was patterned, you know, after Kansas City because, you know, Nagy was there, that, you know, one of the differences, the tight end, and they have Kelce, and we don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I watched some of the Dallas, because I like the Dallas games, because I love to see Jerry Jones get pissed off when they lose, but.
he looked like he was going to cry in the interview afterwards.
Oh, I know. Well, he's hit, you know, the team is, he spent a lot of money on offense, but the defense isn't very good, the special teams are horrible. I mean, they got a new kicker but they got rid of a guy 2 weeks ago. The new guy played pretty well yesterday, he was probably their best player. But they
were saying that this is the first time in the 60-year history of the team that they had a quarterback who passed for 4,000 yards, a running back who ran for 1,000 yards, and not one but two receivers for that caught passes for 1,000 yards, and yet they're under 500.
Well, like I said, they missed two games because the field goal guy missed, you know, layups. But you watch these people at this time of the year. Who's their big end? The guy they signed at the beginning of the year. Is it Akeem Smith? What's his name? I don't know, whatever.
I don't remember.
But you could just see last night with the quarterback just misfiring. I mean, he's got a bad shoulder. And like Troy Aikman goes, God, the guy's got, you know, he's got the velocity. But, boy, you know, Because it's third down. That's a 20-yard pass, and he's throwing it over the guy's head. I mean, what are you doing? You can't do that at that level. But the receiver, if the ball wasn't right to him, he was a guy that when I remember seeing him play, would go up, out, over, underground to get the ball. And now there's something, either it's a rib injury or something, where he's not reaching for anything. You know, I mean, you can just tell some of these guys are walking wounded. And yet they keep... I mean, the Philadelphia, Troy Aikman said last night, I don't know if you think he's a good announcer, he goes, I've never seen...
Yeah, I do.
He goes, this is one of the most signature games I've ever seen. And the guy's been in the game forever. Because Philadelphia has got nobody. Their entire receiving corps from the beginning of the year is on IR. Everybody's in the practice squad. And one of the tight ends got hurt early in the game. And he goes, and still they managed to find somebody. The one tight end that's left caught like 11 balls. You know, he goes, they're managing to find the one person who's healthy and is there even for the moment.
Well, it tells you, I think, that a lot of it is mental.
Yeah, and a lot of it's coaching. A lot of it's how do we get that guy open? And I think, well, Dallas lost a couple of the cornerbacks. I mean, it was like the teams were depleting as the game wore on. You know, I mean, because you could tell there were guys that were playing that maybe if it wasn't a real key game wouldn't have played.
Right.
You know, I mean, the guy, the tight end that hurt his ribs, he could barely walk, yet he was back in there. And he's probably just sitting there, hey, idiot, if you're going to throw the ball to me, throw it low, don't throw it high, right? I mean, good Lord. But it is, you know, you watch how some people, you know, can
I mean, talent, I don't think they compare. Yes, Philadelphia had home field, but in basic, at least offensive talent, there's no question Dallas is better. But I think Philadelphia just better coaching, and they wanted it more.
Well, their defense is better, and their special teams are better.
Right.
The guy from when the Bears played the Cowboys, I like listening. The only thing before the game I like listening to is they'll bring in a like the beat guy for the other team.
Right.
And the guy will say, well, you know, geez, Jerry Jones is pissed off at his team, and what's going on? He goes, the offense, we've had, you know, the quarterback was injured a little bit. He said, so maybe not quite as good as last year, but the offense has been pretty much fine. He goes, it's been spotty, but it's been pretty much fine. He goes, but the defense has been below average, and the special teams aren't even below average. They've been poor, just poor.
Right.
He goes, you know, and that costs you games.
Sure.
And it, you know, depends on who you're playing, and the teams that are good and it, you know, that were good last year are playing the good teams. I mean, the Kansas City, the Bears played because they won last year. They weren't a team that everybody, Green Bay didn't have to play them, or Minnesota. Not that it made much difference, but anyway, we got ourselves on autopilot on the way up here, David.
It's unbelievable. So I take credit when I'm right, I got to take credit when I'm wrong, and I was dead wrong. I thought we'd have a 2-3 day sell off. And I thought that we would start rallying again tomorrow into the end of the year. Well, that's wrong. So maybe we'll break starting tomorrow into the end of the year, because I really thought minimally 2 to 3 to 4%, you know, was down last week. And while it wasn't a huge up week, it was relentless. Dow was up 1%, and the best one, the Nasdaq, was up 1.5%. So it wasn't like it was, you know, dynamic, but it was relentless.
If I were to said to you, David, if I'd have told you at the beginning of last week that the Federal Reserve was going to do $42 billion on their balance sheet on essentially almost a holiday week, double a month from QE3, would you still have predicted the market went down?
No. Had I known that, yes, I would have. And I didn't, you know, I sold a few different things, and I took very, very, you know, two positions, you know, some pure hedges, not specs, pure hedges against accounts that were overly long. So I didn't really sell that much, but no, yeah. Had I known that, no, instead of saying, hey, we're going to be down 2%, you know, I could have easily said, you know, we'll be up 1%.
We had a position to get a little, it's a winter, so, you know, you can't, there's only so much you can snivel on a winter, but we did one of these calendar spreads for the earnings of Lululemon.
Right.
And of course the thing goes straight down, but I don't have the calls, so I got the puts, so we got to get out of them on Friday. And they're 30 cents, 35 cents. We got a couple off at 60. We paid 30 cents for it. We got a few off at 65 cents, and the thing goes right back down again. And I'm thinking, all right, we're going to get the rest off at 35 cents. And, you know, I guess it's better than sharp stick in the eye. At least it's not a loser. So I come in, I got here, had a dash right after the opening, and I come back a couple minutes later, and of course, my man JD's got, he's got us off at 80 cents, and I'm going, well, that's terrific. I mean, half a buck on this pig. I had it in the losing column. The stock that for 2 weeks could not get out of its own way jumps $6, goes right to the strike, and I think the spread goes out at 250.
Yeah, I did buy that break. I just, you know, they some of the margins, whatever, were a little light. Some of the forward guidance was light, but the top and bottom line beats were great. And just the way they're expanding into the men's line, I mean, they have huge, huge, you know, runway ahead of them. So I love that stock. And I have a few cover calls left, and I have a few vertical spreads for full disclosure, but I absolutely love that stock. If it breaks back $5, $6, $7, I'm a buyer.
Well, it sure looked like everything went up last week and it couldn't move. I'm thinking if we get anything out of this, we'll be doing all right. And all of a sudden, would have been nice to pay 30 cents for something and get $2 or more.
Yeah, you bet.
I mean, that doesn't happen very often.
No.
But I mean, I was so happy when I saw the 80 cents and I'm going, wait a minute, this thing's running right up. What the hell? But you know what? We're long a lot of these small mining companies and everything, David. They're not going anywhere, at least not yet. I mean, the Cleveland Cliffs of the world, the FCXs. I thought finally with the China doing a little bit better, that with copper going up, that this FCX would start to move. It did just a little bit. I mean, we made a couple of cents on a spread a couple of weeks ago, but I thought this thing would be back to 15 by now, and it's, you know, 12.75.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that John and Pete have highlighted it for unusual options activity a few times. It's one, I don't know if it's balance sheet, I don't know if it's management or whatever, but I don't like stocks like that, you know, you get the technicals and it doesn't really perform. You get the options activity and it doesn't usually perform. You get the underlying commodity doing what you want it to do and it doesn't perform. When it's the old story, when three men tell you you're drunk, lay down. I probably haven't traded that stock for 8 years, and I don't plan on it.
Well, I don't love these things. It's not like I'm a, you know, I just, it's stunning to me how we have a president, and I'm not going to blame this on the president, but we have a president that does nothing but give lip service to these basic industries. He's done everything he possibly can, in his mind anyway, to help them via tariffs and everything else. And yet, U.S. Steel was down another 10% last week. I mean, is it under?
And gave really, really negative forward guidance.
I mean, it's stunning to me with the Fed doing what they're doing and not telling anybody what they're doing. I mean, matter of fact, officially telling you not to look, basically. You know,
other than you and maybe one other person in the United States, nobody does.
Oh no! Everybody's starting to pick up on this.
Right. It is being talked about now.
And finally, and you see that, you know, the Apple's going up every day and those kinds of things. And yet you still see that 3M is down 60% on the year or 35% on the year. You see, I mean, these basic industries are saying, if we're all doing so good, copper should be going up in China. I mean, the steel companies, you see these buildings going up, you see stuff. Somebody should be buying some steel. And oh, by the way, you know, the new budget they just passed has a whole bunch of money in there for shipbuilding. I mean, and how the hell can you sit there and go, all right, I'm not bullish on U.S. Steel at 20, and I'm not, you know, I like Apple at, you know, 250. But now Apple's 280 and U.S. Steel's 12. I mean, at some point, is there any kind of connection at all between, like, basic economy going seemingly down the rattle this morning? What the what was up? The leading indicators were not leading indicators. Investment. We covered investment. Something was down 2%. It's supposed to be up 1. I mean, everything you see that companies are doing in any kind of investment is basically in the crapple, and yet a few companies just do nothing but go straight up because there's money pouring in here, and there's going to be
and that's the outlier, and we've spoken about this for 3-4 years, where you get the, you know, top five holdings, you know, the FANGs of the world, and, you know, Microsoft and the like, you know, and they dominate the ETFs, and the ETFs move the indexes, and somebody looks and says, oh, geez, you know, the S&P's up 27%, and you know, geez, my account's only up 10 or 12, you know, and 10 and 12 is, you know, great by historical standards, but why am I not up 27? And you say, well, geez, you know, did you have $130,000 to buy 100 shares of Google? You know, because it's, you know, heavyweight in the indexes. You know, and it's I don't want to say it's a false picture, but if you take indexes and make them equal weighted, and there are some ETFs that are equal weighted, the divergences are huge.
Well, sure. I mean, I was mentioning earlier in a show with Jan, I said, we have, you know, have had traditionally people that have dropped, you know, reasonable size stock positions, legacy stock positions at PTI. We got a lot of people like that. But,
right.
David, the stocks have always been, you know, Exxon, UPS, stuff that was where people, you know, the you know, could be a bank. It's not usually Apple. It's not usually
right.
Google, because that's they're not that widely held. I mean, they are in indexes and those kinds of things. But you're
yeah, and you get even a Chipotle, you know, that goes from, you know, 280 to 830, and that's part of the S&P 500. And, you know, it's cap weighted, so it's not, you know, huge because there's not so many shares outstanding, but it's a huge index. Well, how many people have, you know, 1,000 shares of Chipotle at $830? Not too many.
No, not too many. And it's, I mean, it's, you know, when all is said and done, David, you know, 20 years from now, what do you think the, all said and done in today's world, what do you think, I mean, clearly the diversity of knowledge, when you and I started out, anybody with a big company, AT&T, Lucent, GM, you wanted your stock into as many retail hands, those were considered the strong hands. And
right.
If Lucent could be 70% in my pie that we're never going to sell it, just wanted the dividend, that's what you wanted. Okay, and but now the big companies don't want that. They want it 50-55% institutionally owned. Do you think they're going to end up being right about that or not?
They have been. In my heart, I think they're going to be wrong as far as what's happened. You know, the Googles of the world, the Amazons, you know, even the Berkshires that have said we're never splitting, and if you got enough money or you're an institution or hedge fund, then buy it. And if you're not, sorry. So
yeah.
Far, they've been right. So I can't, you know, it's one of those don't fight the tapes. I believe, like I believe you believe, that you know, they're going to be wrong, that it's not wider spread than into retail hands. But so far, they've been right.
Well, because somehow, I mean, if you get a drain on a hedge fund, you may love Apple, but if that's what you got, that's what you sell. If you got to send
right.
people
no,
a check.
Right, no, I get it. And there was a huge hedge fund from the East Coast that closed today.
Why? Just they couldn't make 25%? It's
yeah,
hard to make 25%.
Said, you know, we're done. Sorry. And it wasn't that they were even losers. They had huge, you know, gains. And, you know, even in 18, when the market was down, they made money. 17, they made money. And they were, I think they trailed the indexes this year, but they were up. And they just said, we've had enough. See ya.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can say, you could very easily, you know, I think maybe the Chicago area, given us somewhat of a blue-collar area, David, historically. I mean, 10 years ago, you and I were probably more likely to have gotten a client that, or maybe, you know, make that 15 years ago, that had Sears, United Airlines, you know, General Motors. I mean, those were the linchpins of this area.
Right.
More so than you would if you lived in, you know, probably San Francisco or someplace. Probably wouldn't
right.
have been Sears, United Airlines. Maybe they would have been more towards the Microsoft and stuff of the world.
Sure.
But here,
Starbucks.
Yeah, but here, I mean, you could easily have had people, Kmart, General Motors, some of the banks. I mean, all of a sudden that portfolio not only just didn't do well, they're toast. I mean, pretty much.
You mentioned Lucent.
Yeah.
The biggest and most successful trader I ever had, and I mean he always sold them when the thing was sky high and bought them when they were the low. I can remember Lucent, it was whatever, $65-$70. He bought it under 30 and said, you know, oh my God, this is, you know, a bargain. I want it. He went from zero to making $60 million, you know, trading futures at the Mercantile Exchange. And at $9, it was bye-bye.
Yeah, well, I mean, how many
and
people?
He had tens of thousands of shares.
Well, how many people did we have? Do we have a PTI that still had GE?
Right.
I mean, there's people that if GE ever went under 30, you bought it. You didn't even think about it. You just bought it because you got your chance under 30. Now you get your chance under 12. You know, whatever. You got down to what, 8 or something? Anyway, David, hopefully we'll see you on Thursday, right? We try to fill, make sure we got this week filled, and obviously no show on Wednesday. We will have a show tomorrow. AV's coming in. Maddie Weber will be back on Thursday and Friday. SP Futures up 550, and NASDAQ Futures up 2750. I think we're probably going to hold here, David. I don't know if we're going to keep roaring here, but I think we're going to hold.
It's unbelievable. Well, it just doesn't look like it can set back.
Right now, the phone calls are going out to the Fed. Buy me more. Buy me more. Money's got to go someplace. It's not going to you and me, is it? I wish it was.
No.
We'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.